coming to you from our new home at DynastyLeagueFootball.com and a DLF family of podcasts. We are the Superflex Super Show. We talk QB values, Superflex strategies, evaluate and debate Superflex trades, plus our own twist on Superflex team management with exercises like Tinderflex, Super Six, and You Are Nuts. So when you're done with this awesome DLF podcast, find us on Twitter at Superflex Show and join us in the discussion of the fastest growing format in all of fantasy football, Superflex, on the Superflex Super Show.
Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return. I went up, I learned, I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. I'ma win, it's a turn. You had a cheat before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm laying. I'm an addict, Russ and Brian are the names. Trade Addicts Pod, let's go.
House and I have a trading problem.
And I'm Brian Haar, and I also have a trading problem.
Am I supposed to jump in and say something super exciting right now?
I mean, yeah.
I don't know. I'm Matt Williams, and I love trading the shit out of stuff. Is there swearing on this? It's probably too late to ask this question.
I know, right? I mean, it's happened, so we're just going to ignore it and keep going. Hey, everybody. Welcome to session 78 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts. It is just about the end of week 5, and it may just be the end of Brian Haar's existence in the real world. Today is his wedding anniversary, and for some reason, he's podcasting. So, A, happy anniversary.
Thank you.
B, you're a very brave or stupid man. I'm not sure which.
Or lucky. I go with lucky man.
That's it. That's it right there. Very lucky. Now, we've been celebrating all weekend, so she's got to be up early in the morning. And she's like, I'm going to bed. You can do whatever you want. So
how long? How many years is it?
That's code, man. That's code. You thought you had a choice, but that was a test.
Well, I guess I'll find out tomorrow. You'll find out tomorrow, too, if I'm available and talking to people. So, no, 13 years, Matt, you asked.
Nice.
13 years.
Hey, yeah. Congrats, man.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
All right. So let's talk about something that people actually care about.
Football! God, that was loud. That
was obnoxious.
I'm never going to do that again, guys. I apologize. I'm never.
With the gain, it really didn't sound like a word. Really, more like screaming one like inaudible sound.
Yeah. How much drinking did you do at your anniversary dinner? That's what we need to know.
So that was yesterday, and enough.
All right. So we are going to talk to Mr. Matt Williams. We are going to first ask him, hey, Matt, why don't you... Actually, it's not a question. I'm going to tell you, hey, Matt, why don't you tell the fine people out there who you are, what you do, and where they could find what you do?
I'm Matt Williams. You can find me on Twitter at MATTWI77IMS, no L's.
You need a new handle just because that's the worst thing ever.
Why is that the word? That's the best thing ever.
You have to spell the entire thing out, and number it out.
Well, because it's fun. No L's, just sevens. WI77IMS. It's fantastic.
You're so elite.
Yeah, no losing, only luck. I love it. Yeah, you can find I'm all over the place. I host the Daily Blitz podcast, the FF originally an FF Statistics. I do the DF Statistics podcast, the DFS podcast with Scott Michaud. Now over on the FF Mercenaries podcast family, which I founded with Sam Lane. You know him as FF Stompy, that weirdo who dressed up like a wrestler with the belt from Scott Fishbowl. And the rest of my stuff's over at FF Statistics. That's where you can find all my lovely stuff.
For some reason, I felt like that was going to be longer just because I feel like you are everywhere at this point.
Well, if I could go into in-depth details about all that. Plus, I'm the CFO over at Clipcast, which, you know, but I figured you said things people care about. I figured we try to keep it on point here because I'll probably talk about Mercs throughout the show. But for the interest of getting the show going, I figured, you know, we kind of shorten it up.
I think DLF has a thing going with Clipcast now. So I feel like we probably should be talking about that.
Yeah. Well, we can break it down. DLF just partnered up with Clipcast. If anyone doesn't know what Clipcast is, it's basically like a search engine for podcasts. Like if you go into Google or YouTube and you want to find a video or an article or something, you want to know more about Vance McDonald for whatever reason, you type it in there, go to clipcast.app, or we have an app on the Apple App Store or Android. You type in a player name, team, whatever, and it'll bring up a whole bunch of relevant podcasts, only clips of the player you want to hear about. It's really awesome. You can load it into a playlist, listen on the go, and now all the DLF podcasts are in there. So it's a great way to do research. You can pull clips and shout them out to your friends if you're trying to make a point. But yeah, clipcast.app or in any of the apps, try it out. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, what's the point of going on podcasts if you can't pimp everything you do out? I mean, you might as well just take the chance.
You know what's funny? I don't even do it on my own podcast, which is like completely wrong. Like, I always forget to like plug the stuff that is like, you know, necessary. But I don't know. I just like get wrapped up in actually talking football.
Well, we haven't even started that yet, so it's fine.
My inner conscience is calling myself a sellout. Don't pimp stuff that sounds like an ad.
Sell out with me. Oh, yeah. Sell out. Is any... You guys are about as old as I am. You should know Real Big Fish. Come on. Don't leave me hanging.
I do.
No.
I caught a Real Big Fish one time. I was up on Lake
Ontario. Oh, my God. We get it. You're a real man.
I caught a lake trout. It was fantastic.
So, Matt, completely ignoring that Brian just talked, how long have you been playing fantasy football?
I don't know, probably like 15 years. I mean, I don't know if that's a long time or not compared to most people who have been on the show. But, yeah, pretty long time.
Wait, hold on. Brian has his hands in the air. What just happened?
George Kittle.
Oh, that's okay.
I freaking love George Kittle.
Everyone trade for George Kittle. He's got the Cardinals coming up twice in three straight weeks at sometime soon.
250 yards in those games. Anyways, Russ, apologies. I will try to keep my cheering and my...
No, you put your hands in the air. I was curious. I asked. It was the interruption after that that was a little upsetting. All right, so you've been playing fantasy for 15 years. How long have you been playing Dynasty for?
Probably only about like 5 now. So I was a little late to the party on that one.
See, again, it's funny. Almost everyone we've talked to has been playing since around that 2014, 2015 area. And everyone's like, I think I'm new. And it really just turns out, no, apparently that's just when everyone sort of jumped on board. Everyone's like, wow, Odell's really, really good. I want to always have him. Let me find a way to do that. And that was the birth of Dynasty. Well, the rebirth of Dynasty, I guess, because it was around before that.
Not just everyone just starts saying, hey, why don't you play Dynasty? I'm like, I don't know. I mean, you know, I guess I'll jump in and do it. Because I always, like, I played fantasy baseball for longer than I played fantasy football. I know a lot of people in this don't even like baseball much. But it's like, I do plenty of keeper leagues in that, but... I was always wary because I guess I'm used to watching leagues fall apart, which is, you know, always an issue. So I didn't really want to do it until I got a bunch of people that I kind of wanted to do a league with. I didn't want to do one with strangers or anything. So, there's, you know, I just, when leagues fold and people fall off, that just pisses me off. So if I was going to do Dynasty, I wanted to do it with a league that I thought would actually last. So I waited until I had that opportunity.
That's cool. I mean, I did the exact opposite. I just found people that had a league and I just jumped in. I didn't know any of them. That just shows there's no real way to do it. Just, you know, jump in. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Okay. Well, this is a trading show. So if you have any on the top of your head, what are some of your best and some of your worst Dynasty trades you've made?
All right. I'm prepared because Russ sent me the list here of what I was supposed to, like, we were going to talk about. So I actually dug some of these up. They both happened pre-2018 season in Dynasty. And the one I am proud of, you know what? I'll start the one that I hated because I couldn't find too many that I did really bad on, which is good. So that I guess that means I've been doing something well. I traded DJ Moore straight up for Rashad Penny, which that could still end up being, I guess, okay. But I would really, really like to have that back in a bad way. But the one I am very, very happy with pre-2018, I traded David Johnson, Doug Baldwin, who I know he's been removed from people's brains for long. A lot of people thought he was going to be like a wide receiver one. Golden Tate and Jimmy Graham. Again, this is pre-2018. I got Christian McCaffrey, Adam Thielen, Cooper Kupp, and George Kittle.
Ooh.
So I am set up to destroy for quite a while based on that one trade.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Christian McCaffrey just scored another touchdown right now.
Yeah, it's insane. I mean, I've made some trades I was happy with, but to go like 4-for-4 on like a rebuild trade, which that was pretty nice.
Yeah, man, that is a baller trade. Hey, man, FF Mercs, you need to help go get your team rebuilt. Apparently, go to this guy.
So, yeah, but the Rashad Penny thing, we'll see. Maybe he'll be worth something soon. The door was open with Chris Carson fumbling the ball, and Rashad Penny just couldn't stay on the field to try to seize the moment.
Yeah, and even like Pete Carroll was talking, and he kept bringing up Penny and kept bringing up Carson's fumbles. I'm like, oh man, if this dude was just alive and on the field right now, it would be Rashad Penny time. And it happened, buying into Penny before the season. And
that happened in 2018 too, didn't it? Like where he had, I can't remember the circumstances, but there was an opportunity that came up for Penny to try to jump in there, and it was the same thing. He couldn't stay on the field. Like he had a real opportunity. I can't remember the circumstances, but same thing last year. And he just, I don't know. He's allergic to success, maybe.
I just don't think he's that good.
I mean, it was that.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Peter.
About Peter Howard.
Yeah.
I was messing with him about DJ Chark earlier. I love Peter Howard. He's awesome.
So what is a guiding principle you take with you, whether you are offering or evaluating trades?
To take emotion out of it. Some people don't get the message on that. If you don't like a person, who cares? If you don't like a trade offered to you, who cares? Don't be the person that like, oh, this was a bad offer and I'm about to trade. You know, I didn't like this. Therefore, here you can have Dalvin Cook, but I want Deshaun Watson and Christian McCaffrey and Alvin Kamara. And like, you know, trade, you know, you send that the ridiculous, like I'm upset offer back to them. It's not going to help you. You're not being productive. I know it might feel good to like give them the middle finger, which is essentially what you're doing, but you can't do that. So yes, keep emotion out of it and always try to maintain good relationships with everyone in your league. Cause you know, there's even, you can give them the middle finger like behind their back, but you know, try to maintain good relationships. Cause if you're burning a bridge, that's like a lot of players you are taking off the table for trades.
Yeah. That is, you know, super on point. Don't be a dick. I mean,
besides, people need to be reminded, man. They do.
And especially like the thing is, if you have a league where it not everyone is active, like you have to really just cherish those people that are.
So
don't go pissing off people that are active just because every once in a while they send you a bad offer. Everyone sends bad offers. I will be the first to admit I send very bad offers sometimes.
Yeah,
I can trying
to tell you.
I start every season by telling people I send trades constantly. They're not all going to be winners. Don't take it personally. Tell me I'm a moron and we can move on.
Exactly. Yeah. Like sometimes I'm just clicking buttons and I miss one or click one too many. I have absolutely gotten very lucky where sometimes they're like, did you really mean to offer this? Well, no, missed a button. Thank you.
Or yeah, you're like, you forgot to offer the most valuable player by accident, which actually like can happen. Like, what is this? Oh, like shit. You know, Michael Thomas was supposed to be in there.
before last season, I traded Mike Evans for Marcus Mariota because I forgot to click the buttons on his side to equal Mike Evans, and he accepted it. And I'm just like, no, I'll take my lumps on that one. My bad.
Hey, this year, never mind. It's still Mike Evans still had that one game that bumped him up. I love the short sample size for that one game. Still has Evans as like the wide receiver 8. I think Will Fuller was like the wide receiver like 40 before yesterday. Now he's like the wide receiver 6. So I mean, freaking, it's week 5. So none of that really matters.
It's going to be 200 yards and 3 touchdowns. So
yeah. Hey, he got tackled at the 1 yard line twice. He almost had 5 touchdowns. It was insanity. But you know, going back to, you said the advice thing, this kind of lumps in with the don't be a dick thing, which is, you don't have to embarrass everyone in every trade you make. Everyone wants to win a trade. That's kind of the point. But the real point is to make your team better. It's not to win the trade. It's to make your team better. So don't look to make the other person look like an idiot long term every time, because if you do that every time, no one's going to want to trade with you. So, yeah, I mean, you want to win every trade, but you don't have to like, you know, counter everything and try to like win a trade straight out. It's okay for things to be even every once in a while. I don't know how you guys, you know, I don't know if everyone's listening to this. I want to win every trade, but yeah, you want to win a trade, but you don't need to like dominate every trade. You know what I mean?
Winning a trade is the real definition of a one trade is when both teams get made better. Yeah. That's the point of trading.
Yeah. If your team's better and you kind of feel shitty about what you just did, that's a good trade.
Yes. There should always be just a tinge of regret or, oh God, what the hell did I just do? In like every single good trade. Cause otherwise what's the point?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's, you know, if every once in a while you get that one where the other guy offers you something and you smash, accept, take your, you know, sip your champagne and be happy about it, but don't search that out every time, you know, it's not gonna happen.
So that is our little interview section. There's not really that much news from this week, but I mean, there's one or two things. So Brian, hit us with the news.
The news.
This is like pretty much breaking news, even though I'm still not going to put this out for 2 days. But Zay Jones got traded to the Oakland Raiders for a fifth round pick, I believe it was. I like Zay Jones. He was really good at the end of last year, so I really thought he was going to be a thing this year. So I have a decent amount of shares. This makes me sad for Gazelle. I hope this A does not mean that he is hurt more than, you know, just this 1 week having to miss. And B, no, that's really all I care about. And I guess Waller, because I now have one or two shares of him. What do you, Matt, think this trade means for anybody on either team? Or do you just not care about any of it?
No, I care about it because I'm in enough leagues where it's deep enough to care about all of this, really. I have Robert Foster quite a few places, and I think we're discussing Zay Jones leaving does open up the door for that. He only really had the one vertical option in John Brown, Josh Allen. Cole Beasley's great going across the middle because apparently the only consistent accuracy Josh Allen has is in that weird Cole Beasley area. But yeah, it'll be nice if maybe Foster can get more involved. I know a lot of people are excited about, still forget his name, Duke Williams. Whoever you are, people are jacked up about him. But yeah, overall, this is just, I guess, good news for Foster, good news for Zay Jones, probably really bad news for Hunter Renfrow.
Yeah, I don't know if he was necessarily going to be a thing anyway, but yeah, they're the same thing, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, I assume they acquired him to replace him completely. With Tyrell out, there was people that were like, you know, targets are targets, and if Waller can't get all of them, I mean, maybe he can. But yeah, with Zay Jones there, I guess you can. Yeah, another guy I'm a little more confident in for them to try to get the ball to.
Foster Moreau season, baby.
The island of Foster Moreau. I do not have him on any team, so I can't name a team that, and I was kind of upset.
Many, many, many shares. Many, many shares. I'm looking forward for it to be a thing. Brian, Zay Jones? Yeah,
I mean, right. Matt kind of covered it as far as, I mean, I don't really have any strong opinions on Zay. I don't know that this really does anything for him, you know, overall. We'll just have to see how this one kind of shakes out. I guess the one intriguing guy for me is Robert Foster, and, you know, he was good in a few games last year, in the middle of the season there. He was putting up big numbers. So I don't know, maybe he can do it again, we'll see. But
it was weird, right, how they just completely erased him from their game plan. I know they brought in Smokey, but like Josh Allen was the QB1. I know he ran the ball, but Robert Foster was a big reason of that too. So I don't know why they just like leapt him off the face of the planet. Him and Allen had something good going.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's exactly kind of where I am with him too. I actually had acquired a couple of shares in the offseason before the big free agent signings with Brown and Beasley. But yeah, I mean, we'll have to see how this all shakes out for these guys. Bills and Raiders trades. I mean, that's, you know, I don't know. I'm just not overly excited about either of those offenses, to be honest. So that's just kind of where I am with it.
Aren't the Raiders in the playoffs right now? I'm just saying, aren't they both in the playoffs right now?
I hope I think the Bills are, for sure.
Raiders, I think the Raiders are, to be honest.
Come on. Extrapolation is bad enough in the first place. No, really, no, I'm not. Playoffs in week 5.
Oh, yeah. If it involves the Raiders being in the playoffs, I think you got to have to call that even after week one. All right. Week one, the Raiders in the playoffs.
Yeah, the Bills are 4-1, so they're definitely in it. Raiders are 3-2, so yeah, it looks like they would be as well at this time.
Okay, so that is enough about the Raiders and the Bills. Let's just put it that way. Brian, man.
Yep.
Mason Rudolph, man.
Yeah. He about died.
That poor kid. Oh, man. Like, his eyes were in the back of his head before he hit the ground. And then he just did not move. That was legitimately terrifying. So, to make it so I don't, like, start audibly crying and just, like, huddle in a corner thinking about what happened to him, he's clearly going to be out for a little bit. Do we have any idea who this...
Duck.
Devlin
Hodges. Duck. His nickname's Duck.
Is it because he throws them?
No, he's a world championship duck caller. I'm not sure.
No way.
No, he legitimately is a world champion duck caller.
I am going to YouTube this. Not YouTube right now.
It. Yeah, do it. He is a world champion duck caller. Samford, he has every passing record at Samford University.
Samford.
Yeah, I think you have every passing record at Samford.
He was an undrafted free agent out of Samford. He's mobile somewhat. He had two runs of 20 yards, I think, on Sunday. So he's a little bit more mobile than Rudolph is, even than Roethlisberger is. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to expect. He's kind of from what I've read, he's kind of a gunslinger. Like, he's not afraid to just rip it. So, especially with the way that this season has gone so far for the Steelers, I mean, why the hell not at this point, you know? So, yeah. You know, I don't know from a fantasy perspective. I don't really know what you can expect from the kid. The hit was extremely scary. I mean, that was one of the scariest hits I've seen. I mean, Rudolph, just his body goes limp, and the hit of the helmet on the turf was about as bad as the initial hit. You know, from a brain jarring standpoint. So it was just nasty all around. And thank God it seems like Mason's going to be okay, because that was a nasty hit. Very scary.
Yeah. So I don't really know. This doesn't matter for anyone else further on the Steelers. Like, I mean, can we really say Juju is now worse off than he was with Mason Rudolph?
I would say we could reasonably expect that.
Like, to me, like, he wasn't really getting anything. He scored a touchdown, yeah, but he still had like three catches for 40 yards and a touchdown.
I guess more of an optimism standpoint, where you were hoping maybe they'd get him more involved. Now, even if the champion duck caller does okay, I would think that they're going to be running the life out of the ball. And this is just not good for anybody involved, really. Right. But, yeah, I mean, you can't, from a trade perspective, I don't know what the heck you can do. You know, you're just going to sit there and watch it happen. I mean,
yeah. And the biggest problem too, I mean, I would say I like it for the running game, just because I think they're going to try to run the ball more to help the quarterback in this situation. But at the same time, they haven't been running the ball well. Mm-hmm. And if they get behind in these games, then they're not going to obviously be running the football. So it's a tough situation all the way around. You could see James Conner and Jalen Samuels in the tight ends maybe catching a few more passes here and there. Mm-hmm. But again, at the same time, if the kid's really a gunslinger, maybe he'll sling it down the field. Who knows? He's going to turn it over a ton, I'd imagine, yeah, just because of the nature of being a third string quarterback in the league and an undrafted free agent. So
yeah, it's hard to give an educated answer without knowing anything about the quarterback. At least on my end, I don't know anything. I mean, inexperienced quarterback, you'd think the slot receiver Juju and Vance McDonald would be the obvious guys to get all the targets, just from an inexperienced quarterback, seem to go that direction typically. And this would be terrible, terrible news for Deontay and Washington. But that's me just going with a generalization based on nothing.
All right, so yeah, mystery's fun, right? Like, we have no idea what the hell's going to happen. So that's kind of cool.
Although, I should say, from a standpoint, go ahead and go try to trade for Juju, because I'm sure everyone's panicking like crazy. See how cheap you can get him, because guess what? This guy's not going to be the quarterback forever. That's not how it works.
Actually, let's just jump straight into this. Let's do a Trade Addicts trade real quick. There you go. I didn't even have to ask. I'm sure we'll do this again, but Trade Addicts Leagues, 12-team Superflex, PPR, tight end premium, 1.75 and 0.05 points for return yardage. We have a trade of Dalvin Cook for Juju Smith-Schuster and JJ Arcega-Whiteside. So JJ and Juju, which is just super fun to say. Got a little derailed, but the main event of the show is going to be talking about it's going to be you evaluating your team and seeing whether you think you should rebuild, retool, or just make that push for the ship. And a lot of the trades that this week was insane with trades in the Trade Addicts leagues, literally about 15-ish to 20. And a lot of the trades I pulled were sort of fitting in this theme of, you know, competing versus rebuilding kind of trades to try and, A, you know, we get to gauge trades and make fun of people who made bad trades, and B, give you guys idea of what you should be looking to do, or if you think it's a terrible idea, what not to do. This one is clearly one of those. If anyone listens to this week's Dynasty Crossroads DLF Family Podcast, was just a freaking brilliant. I hate Peter Howard because he starts off the show saying, "I'm terrible at trading," and then the entire show was him and John Boss just saying brilliant things about trading. So it's just like, screw you guys, get off my brand. But one of the things they talked about is the short-term fantasy value of running backs and the long-term dynasty value of wide receivers. So as we're going to get into a little later, if you're rebuilding, the way you rebuild is through wide receivers. If you're making that push, you do it through running backs. Here is a beautiful, beautiful example of that. Dalvin Cook is a beast this year. Juju Smith-Schuster is a freaking fantastic wide receiver who is just not scoring that many points. And JJ Arcega-Whiteside is the future wide receiver of the Philadelphia Eagles. So, Brian, you are a fan of most, if not all, of these people in this trade. How do you feel about this one? This was Trade Addict 6, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, I think if I'm competing this year and trying to make a run, I think the Cook side is probably the side you'd want, based on the way that Dalvin has played so far this year. In a dynasty league, if I'm in that middle group of teams that could kind of go either way, or obviously if I'm at the other end of things and not doing so hot, I think I'd rather have the Juju JJ side, long term. But that's me.
Yeah, I feel like 2-3 weeks ago we would have looked at this and sort of like raised an eyebrow. But how do you feel value wise about this?
Yeah, I mean, I think Juju and Dalvin are pretty darn close, and Arcega-Whiteside was, he was a late first in most drafts that I saw, late first, early second value. And I think, I don't know that I'm paying that with Juju Smith-Schuster to get to a whole lot of players in the league. To be honest with you, I mean, the kid's 22 years old. That's the thing we always kind of forget, I think, is, because he's been around several years now. But he's younger than a lot of the rookie wide receivers in the league. So it's kind of crazy to think about that way. And he's already, a superstar in the league. And yeah, he's struggling right now because the Steelers are on their third string quarterback. And they have no running game and teams are scheming to take him away. So, as frustrating as that is, especially for me as a guy who thought, that they wouldn't feel the Antonio Brown loss quite as bad as they are seemingly feeling it. And I don't think that, I think there's a lot that goes into that. I don't think it's as simple as just saying, well, Juju's not the same player without Antonio Brown there. you know, there's a lot that has happened in Pittsburgh that is contributing to that, but that is a part of it too, for sure. So, you know, I mean, I think long-term, you know, I still think Juju is definitely a wide receiver one in this league. I think he's likely to finish in the wide receiver one range, you know, 6 out of the next 8 years, regardless of who their quarterback is. You know, I think Rudolph can get it done. I really do. I don't think he's as bad as people think he is, in a lot of places. And, you know, again, I'm not probably paying up with Juju to get to Dalvin, but that's just me.
What about you, Matt? If you are actually, I mean, either side of this, like if you're making a push, would you trade Juju away to get Dalvin? Or if you're either middling, or if you are a, you know, ninth place team that just happens to have Dalvin Cook, would you trade Dalvin away to get Juju plus a little?
If I'm trading Dalvin Cook, I want something else personally. I think that, I mean, right now, depending on your format, I mean, he's one of the few skill players that are scoring more than most quarterbacks, which doesn't really happen too often. It's like McCaffrey, Eckler, and Cook pretty much. And if everyone's so far thinking how McCaffrey's so great, Dalvin Cook is pretty much right on his heels. And I mean, those stud running backs are just harder to find, but they're also really inconsistent from year to year. But I think I would try to hold out and really be happy with my return. I'd want a slam dunk return for Cook because I think someone will offer that to me. This is fair enough, but I don't really want to make a lateral move with someone I feel that he's a player that some team will be willing to really overpay for. And I don't think that's what this is. And I'm not really in love with Juju. I wasn't before the season started. So that, you know, grain of salt with the opinion in general. So yeah, I would, if I had Juju and J-Jaw, I don't think I would make the move to acquire him because I think, like, I really believe in J-Jaw as well. I was shocked when Jackson and Jeffrey went down that he wasn't more involved. And when they went to Aguilar all game, that was like heartbreaking, but we saw a little bit of what he can do in the preseason. And I think, yeah, he will step in and I think be a monster for Wentz. So I think it's just, if I owned one side, I wouldn't be eager to swap him from the other side in general. So I think it's pretty even trade, but I prefer the Cook side. But if I was on, you know, if I was on if I was on the other side with the wide receivers, I'd probably want to stand pat there too. So I know it's a cop out answer, but that's how I'd.
I think that's the show of a good trade when you're kind of like, I like both sides. So, I mean, good
for the perfect world, one team needs a running back, the other team needs a wide receiver. Maybe long term, right? It just all works out.
More importantly, Brian, how are you taking it that he called Juju not a slam dunk? You're muted. You're shrugging it off. You're too much of a nice guy. We're just going to move on.
Brian
unmute
muted,
your microphone.
That's probably a good thing. No, I'm just kidding. No, yeah, I mean, hey, it is what it is. He hasn't, I don't think, again, I said this already, but I don't think that everything that's going on in Pittsburgh is Juju's fault. I don't think Juju's lack of production is Juju's fault. There's a lot that goes into that. And he's 22 and he has a 1400 yard season with 111 catches on a ridiculous amount of targets. So I think he can do that again. You know,
I don't disagree with that, by the way. I don't disagree with that. I guess that went to my point where if I own Dalvin and I think there's a better offer coming than just Juju and Arcega Whiteside. I think that there's a better offer that will be coming. Therefore, I'd rather just wait for it because that's close enough for me to not wanting to bother to do. Unless, you know, for some reason I was stacked at running back and the idea of adding Juju as a young wide receiver would just fit my team really well, which that could just be the case. But all things just being equal, I'd rather just hold on to Dalvin.
Yeah, and I definitely think that's a fair point, Matt. I agree with that. And I think, you know, we all, I mean, you have to react based on what's going on right now, too. You know, I mean, we have overarching narratives that last multiple seasons, but currently speaking, Dalvin Cook is one of the best dynasty assets to have on your roster right now. I mean, he's been unbelievable through 5 games. So I think, you know, I think I agree with your point there. I think you probably can get maybe a little bit more than this for him, or there might be somebody in your league that would pay more than this for him. You know, I think long term the value is probably pretty close here.
Mm-hmm. Just off topic a little bit. Who would you rather have as someone who likes Juju a lot? Who would you rather have in Dynasty right now, Juju or Nuke?
I'd rather have Hopkins.
Because I'm pretty sure you could get Hopkins for Cook. I mean, you know, I'm just saying, like, I in terms of a better offer, I meant depth wise, get something more like, you know, in addition to Juju. But just in general, though, there's just so many things early in the season where I don't think there's a real reason to make the move. But yeah, I'm beating a dead horse at this point.
Man, Brian, I am just not looking towards you to spark controversy ever again. Like, I gave you such an opening to pick a fight and you just agreed with him.
Sorry.
You should be. You.
Well, I mean,
don't justify.
Move along.
You're just going to start agreeing with him more.
I didn't really bury anyone, so maybe it's my fault. Maybe I should be take a stronger stance next time.
No, stop it. Russ, don't take the blame off of Brian.
Russ tries every single week in this show to get me to fight with somebody. He eggs me on Twitter.
Even if it's me.
He wants me to fight people. So
I'll do my best to start a fight with the next trade. I'll make an outlandish and egregious statement just for the hell of it.
Okay. Well, just don't come after Saquon or else we may. I'm not going to put a threat on a podcast. I'll probably get arrested. Or something.
Too nice of a guy. Just hit us with the main event, Brian.
Main event.
So, like I said before,
I love that that's not. I'm sorry. I love that that's not a drop. It's just you just doing it because it seems like it should be a button, and you're just like doing it. I love it.
Oh no, because there has to be a little bit of individuality every single time. And you know, me getting to yell at him whenever he doesn't. You know, I can tell when he's not listening. So, as I was saying before, I was so rudely interrupted that I rudely interrupted myself. Today's main event is going to talk about evaluating your team. Right around now is sort of you have a better picture of who is who in your league. You have an idea if your team is competing or if your team kind of sucks. And there are a couple of tools that you can use in case you're not completely sure. So let's start with, I have a team. My team is, the name of this league is called Ziggy Piggy. I don't know if anyone out there is a Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure fan. But
yeah, eat the pig, Ziggy Piggy.
Yep, eat the pig, eat the pig, Ziggy, 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 Zig. My team, let me read you my team. Jameis Winston, Nick Chubb, Zeke Elliott, Kerryon Johnson, Alvin Kamara, Tyler Boyd, Stephon Diggs, Alshon Jeffrey, Marvin Jones, Tyrell Williams, Evan Engram. What do you think my record is?
1-4.
Yeah, it's about to be. That's how crazy. Ridiculous is that? Like, what is this?
Can you see his running backs again? Those are ridiculous.
Yeah. Chubb, Zeke, Kerryon, and Kamara.
Wow.
And I can't win a freaking game. So here's the thing. Clearly we see my team is not bad. So we talked about it a little last week, but I'm going to bring it up again and we're going to talk about it a little more in depth. There is a power rankings tool in MFL. And I'm just going to talk like everyone that is listening uses myfantasyleague.com because you absolutely should. By far the best platform out there. Worth every penny. I know people are going to complain that you have to pay for it. And yes, it is, the UI isn't necessarily perfect. Take 30 seconds to look around and you'll figure it out and you'll love it. And what was that face, Brian?
Pain. Nothing. Yeah, I'm getting old.
Yeah, you are.
If you really hate the UI, download the app. It's a lot more palatable.
Not a fan of the apps, but that's if you
want to do simple items, like
don't
week to week
draft
things
from the app. That's the one thing I will say. Don't draft from the app. Anything else should be okay. Yeah. On the actual site itself, reports, standings, power rank. This little awesome tool will show you your win-loss record, your total points for, your potential points, which is your points out of your best possible lineup every single week. This one is fun. Your efficiency at setting your lineup. It gives you a percentage of how good you are. You'll see that I have 71.9%, which means not great. It has the points that your bench scores.
Is there a number? I'm sorry, I'm interrupting you again. Is there a number? Like, what's the baseline for being good at that efficiency anyway?
I mean, who the hell knows? It's probably pretty like individual towards your league. You'll see a little bit in a second here. I'll show you. Where was I? Max points four, your highest score. Minimum points four, your lowest score. Now, here's the cool ones. Coulda won and woulda lost are two separate columns. It shows you if you set your best lineup, which games you would have won, and what if the other team set their perfect lineup, you would have lost. I could have won three games, and I'm 1-3 right now. So if I set my perfect lineup, I could be 4-0 right now. It also shows power ranks, which I have no idea what those actually mean. And then there is the all play record, where your score every week versus every other team. And I am actually 500 in my all play record. So what I take out of this is that I personally suck and my team does not.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're terrible at this.
Yeah. Don't come to me for sit start stuff. It's not a good idea. I will definitely admit to that.
You're a GM, not a coach.
Job. I almost started a league this year, but I thought of it too late, where you have, GMs and head coaches. One person gets to make all the personnel decisions. One person starts lineups and does like maybe waiver ads, just so they don't feel like completely left out.
That's awesome.
Yeah, because I don't want to set lineups. I'm terrible at it. And not everyone likes best ball. Best ball dynasty. Everyone should look into it. It's awesome. But let's not get too sidetracked. This tool is showing me right now, again, this is all me. This is not my team. So if I'm sitting here trying to decide whether I should, I'm 1-3, my team is terrible, should I just sell all my running backs for young wide receivers? Not so fast, because this shows that I could have won the three games I lost if I just didn't suck at this game. So that is one way of seeing that. That's one way. It's one tool in evaluating your team. The other is just, feel for your league also. What else was I going to say? I completely blanked. That's the worst. Brian, help me out. Yeah.
Yo.
How do you evaluate a team if you are going to try and figure out if you're going to win or rebuild?
So I think I probably hang on longer than most people do, because I've been fortunate enough in leagues to get in, to squeak in to playoffs and then make ridiculous runs to championships. With teams that probably have no business being championship teams.
Like the people with Josh Allen and Derrick Henry last year?
Yeah, essentially. I didn't have too many of either of those players. But yes, those types of teams, absolutely. I mean, I've just personally been fortunate that way in a number of leagues. So I think I probably hang on longer than most do. But, you come to a point in the season where you got to make that decision of, okay, am I pushing and trying to go for it, or am I looking to next year? And I notice the word choice there, because it's not blowing the team up. That's not, a lot of people say that, well, should I make a run or should I blow my team up? No, that's don't blow your team up just for the sake of blowing your team up. Make a run if you want to make a run, or look to next year. And look to next year is different than blowing your team up. It means evaluate your assets and see where you need to improve, and then start making moves for yourself to improve in those areas for next year. So maybe you do take chances on players that aren't necessarily producing, but who historically have, guys like Stephon Diggs, guys like Juju, or maybe you start looking to rookies who didn't have big years that we thought might, Jay-Jaw, some other guys. But you got to come to that point, and you got to commit one way or the other. The middle ground area is really not the place you want to be. And we talk about that all the time. But if you're in, you got to make that decision at some point. And the earlier you can make it, the better, because you have more time to work with. So that's kind of where I am. I think I probably hang on a little bit longer than I need to in a lot of places. I'm a hopeful, hopeless romantic, whatever you want to say. I want to win championships, and I hang on and try to win them as much as I can. But, that can hurt you in the long run, not making the decision to look to next year sooner in the year.
All right, Matt, is there a service or a website these people can go to where they can enlist the help of, we'll call them professionals, to help them evaluate their teams and tell them where to go from there?
Yeah, there could be. Go to ffmercs.com, the fantasy football mercenaries founded by myself and Mr. Sam Lane. Russ is also involved. We got Mr. Superflex dude, John Hogue. If you want to draft seven quarterbacks in the first three rounds, he's your boy. We are available just like any other consulting service to in the preseason for drafts. We'll actually draft with you. We'll actually do a pre-draft consultation and go over stuff. We'll do, you know, dynasty roster breakdowns and any kind of roster moves like that. But in season, which is the important thing, we will sit with you. We will go over your roster as far as start sit decisions and, you know, tiny stuff like that. But in dynasty, we will go over your entire roster. We'll go over your entire league. We will break your team down. We will tell you, like, you know, the best direction to go forward. And we have a lot of people on staff, including Ethan Turner. You know, he's spot on when it comes to injuries. He's a physical therapist. You've probably seen his stuff on Twitter. And we will kind of give you a direction which way to go. So we offer a lot of different services. So go to ffmercs.com. And or you can follow us at FFMercs on Twitter. And we have a couple of different podcasts, and we're always giving out some free advice online. But for more in-depth stuff, you can just pull us aside, and we will dedicate a whole block of time to just turning your team around. So if your team already looks like a dumpster fire, call FFMercs, and we will get you on the right track.
That was good. That was man, that's not even a read. That's the passion. That's what that is.
It is. It's all the passion. But what Brian was saying earlier with the, yeah, if you wait too long to make that decision, like as soon as it becomes obvious that you're not going to hang there, if you end the season with a guy like Jordan Howard, Carlos Hyde, when you could have legitimately traded for them for a piece that could help you for much longer in the season where their value could drop significantly next year, those guys should never be on your team. So even if, like you said, you don't have to break up your team, get rid of those like veteran players that could really help a person go like pushing for the playoffs. Cause earlier in the season, like no one's going to maybe trade for those guys later in the season if they're not going to start for them. But earlier in the year, when there's still tons of bye weeks left, if it looks like you're in a hole, definitely try to trade those people out. They're not going to be a long-term asset for you, because other teams that are definitely going for it still would love to have some very, you know, usable depth. And maybe those are bad examples because they're not exciting players, but just, I'm saying anyone like that is not going to be any kind of a building block for you going forward. There's tons of teams that are going for it that can use your spare parts and give you some kind of future asset for free. And not necessarily one for one. You could pair them with someone else and upgrade to someone else more useful, but just in general, make that call earlier the better.
Yeah, because just sort of like lightning struck my brain right now. You can sort of think of making this decision and price value wise is kind of like draft picks. The closer you get to the draft, the more expensive draft picks are. The closer you get to the playoffs, the more expensive players like Frank Gore and Larry Fitzgerald are going to cost you if you're a competing team, because I mean, these losing teams know they kind of have you. You want to win. You're going to have to give up a better draft pick than you would have 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago now. So use these tools, try and, you know, check your points, check the matchups you've had, and try and, you know, really, it's funny. There was a team before the season that I should not have made my all-in moves on. I made the wrong decision of realizing that there was a lot of players I liked on the team and sort of made the wrong decision thinking that that meant it was a competing team. So really step back, forget you're looking at a team that you own, and try and be realistic and look compared to the rest of the teams in your league and try and see if you think, Brian's right, if you can make the playoffs, it could almost be worth it just to make that push, because once you make the playoffs, anything can happen. But if you have a team that is just like, even if you feel like if you make that push, there's a chance you won't make the playoffs, I'm a fan of taking that step back and not going for it. Now, what Brian said was very, very important. There is steps in between making a push for the championship and blowing your team up. I don't know if I made this up or if I heard it from somewhere else. So I apologize if I'm stealing someone else's words. There's a difference between rebuilding and retooling. Retooling just means you have a few things to change for next year, or I mean, even later in the year. There's smaller moves you could make, you know, younger guys that are producing as opposed to going for Larry Fitzgerald or Emmanuel Sanders. You know, those are two, that's a very important distinction to sort of put in your mind. You don't have to sell all of your production for picks just because, you know, you'll make the playoffs, but you might not win. I mean, that's just silly. You'll never win if you just keep doing that. So there is a step in between. So I don't want, like Brian said, I don't want you to think the answer is either go all in or blow it up. There's definitely a space in between. Any last thoughts that I completely missed that you guys want to talk about before we get into a few specifics?
No, you covered it pretty good.
All right, Brian was shaking his head. Then Matt, I mean, you guys can't see, but Matt doesn't have a webcam. So I'm like, Matt, if you're sitting there shaking your head, I cannot see that.
Oh, so, I said, I don't know if you can hear me. I said, yeah, you covered that fine.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you actually saying it out loud because I realized that you could be shaking your head and I would have no idea. So I threw it out on Twitter. My exact tweet was, week 5 is almost in the books. Time to take a step back and look at your team and decide what direction you are going to go in. Not sure what to do? Ask. Matt Williams is coming on the Trade Addicts pod tonight, and we want to help you make some moves. So let's get a quick easy one out of the way. This has absolutely nothing to do with rebuilding or anything like that. This is more a retooling move. Dynasty Football 247 at 247 Dino. What is Chris Godwin's value in 2020 firsts? Brian, this is one of your boys. He's holding up the number 2. Have we reached 2 first round picks?
Yes.
Clearly more than a first. Let's put that out there. 2 firsts. We're not talking first and a second anymore. We're talking,
I mean, I guess it would depend on where they are.
Which, where the first is. All right.
Yeah. So, I mean, if they're random and you know they're not probably top 5, I mean, I'd pay 2 firsts for them.
So early and a late? Or if there's an early, you don't want to make that second one a first.
Yeah, I mean, if it's an earlier one, I'd try to get him with a second, a first and a second. If it's two later first, I'd probably pay the 2 firsts.
What about you, man? How do you feel about Godwin in 2020 firsts?
What I feel about Chris Godwin is no one should be trading him for draft picks because he's a young wide receiver that's what you're hoping to get out of the 2020 firsts. So, yeah, I would definitely trade 2 2020 firsts for him. And if you have Chris Godwin rebuilding, going for it no matter what, do not trade him. Just keep him.
He's the guy you've been around.
Unless you're getting usable assets back that you like and draft picks, don't trade him for just draft picks. Don't do that. But I don't know. That's my philosophy in general, though. I don't know how you guys definitely feel in general. Give me the proven assets over draft picks most of the time. But if you're talking about a young wide receiver who's already proven, like, it's like a no-go. I'm not trading him unless you, like, you know, I need to be getting players back that I like and draft picks. I mean, no way for just draft picks. Nope.
He's a wide receiver 1 right now.
The. Yeah. Yeah. We talked about this last week a little bit where it was in terms of Juju and Saquon. So it was a little bit of a higher echelon of players. But we were absolutely saying if you're trading a stud, you get proven back. Trading a player, not to say Godwin and Juju are the same, but getting a player that right now is just producing like crazy, and it's not that it's out of nowhere. We knew Godwin was going to do well, maybe not this well, but still. Trading him for picks straight up, I mean, maybe you are enamored with this 2020 class like some people super are. It's not my kind of move, especially like you said, with a young wide receiver, because that's what you build around. So yeah, I hope that's a good answer.
Look here, like I say, you own Godwin. Someone offers you 2 2020 firsts, you're turning it down, right?
I mean, probably. Like, it super depends. Yeah. I won't feel good about it just because, you know, who knows what I could do with those picks.
So Russ, for the sake of the discussion and the flow of the show, I think you should jump into the Trade Addict 6 trade that I made with Bill, because it involves Chris Godwin and picks and another Saquon, another Penn State player, Saquon.
I'm looking at a Saquon trade that does not involve Chris Godwin.
No?
What are you talking about?
Oh, I'm sorry. Never mind. It wasn't Saquon. It was Kamara. It was Kamara. It was my trade with J. Mike. It wasn't
okay,
Saquon.
So let's.
I got him mixed up.
Alvin Kamara and a 2020 second for Chris Godwin, Deion Kane, and two 2020 firsts.
What was that again? Kamara and a second?
Yeah, for Chris Godwin and two 2020 firsts.
And that's...
No disrespect to Deion Kane, but he just doesn't really measure up in this.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it all... I mean, whatever. I guess we're never going to know anyone's full roster here, but... yeah, give me Godwin in the two 2020 firsts.
Yeah, and the one thing, that second on the other side will be the first pick of the second round. I'm almost one as close to 100% sure on that as you can get.
Well, I mean, that does make that makes a little bit of a difference, but I mean, Kamara is obviously worth more than Godwin, but not a tremendous amount more. So I don't think the difference between the two is two 2020 first, though. I mean, we have no idea.
Hold on. I don't want to run away from that. Like, if we're in a startup right now, how early are you taking Godwin?
Late second.
Wow.
Maybe early third.
Okay.
I mean, that's where, I'm taking him before Evans, and that's probably where Evans would be going. That's obviously off the top of my head, though, so maybe I'd regret that. Maybe mid-third is more realistic. I don't think the difference between the two is 2021st is the main thing.
Real quick, we have a patron jumping in. Eric Miller wants to know, how far apart are Godwin and Juju? I mean, Juju still a first-round startup pick?
People like making me squirm.
Yes, it's so much, it's a lot
there's
of fun.
No doubt about it.
And he's watching, so he sees it.
Yeah.
Wait, okay, so you squirm. Hold on, Matt. Is Juju still a first-round startup pick for you?
No.
No?
No.
Brian?
I mean, I don't know. He's a... I can cop out again and say he's a turn pick, but you know, I'll put him in the early second just for the sake of giving a direct answer.
Yeah, he is for me.
First round?
Yeah. Probably at the end. I mean, he probably dropped a few spots, but I still have him up there.
Okay, so Godwin or DJ Moore?
Godwin.
Man, Diggs was always my go-to, and that just doesn't work anymore. Godwin or Keenan?
Keenan. But it's close.
I would take Godwin, but I think they'd be going right around the same area for me.
Wow, I have not. Maybe I just haven't adjusted enough just yet. But man, to me, that's easily Keenan.
I love Keenan too. I like Godwin a lot. I mean, how old is Keenan? 29?
Six-ish?
He's 27. I think
he's 27. Oh, is he 27? For some reason, I thought he was older.
Because you're wrong. That's why. Okay,
this is what I deal with on a weekly basis.
I love you.
You're
Rusty.
Too nice. Someone has to balance the scales. Yeah, hard hands. I got you, baby.
I love Keenan, though. I do. I love Keenan.
Clearly not enough. our next question. See, this is along the lines of my Ziggy Piggy team. Aaron Desmond at Force Fantasy. He has a team that's going to be 0-5 after this week, and he's thinking of shipping off some assets. Listen to this guy's team. He didn't give me any league details, but I don't necessarily think it matters. Quarterbacks, Matt Ryan, Jacoby Brissett. Running backs, Melvin Gordon, Carlos Hyde, Miles Sanders. Wide receivers, Tyler Boyd, Brandon Cooks, DeAndre Hopkins, Jarvis Landry, Michael Thomas. And tight ends, Mark Andrews. Now, he's 0-5 somehow. That team is very good, right? Like, when you stop and think about it.
I'm not on the live cam, so you couldn't see my face when you're reading his running backs, but the 0-5 didn't surprise me much.
Yeah, the running backs.
His running backs aren't great, but those wide receivers kind of are, right? Like, that's okay. To me, this is not a team you blow up. He also adds he has two firsts, one second, and two thirds in 2020. See, this to me is a retooling team.
Yeah.
You take those. I mean, he gave no details. So I'm going to assume this is one quarterback just because it makes my life easier right now. Well, even still, because you're not going to draft a quarterback. Take those two picks, draft running backs, and you're set for next year. I mean, I love this wide receiver core.
I mean, you can retool this year just by shipping off a wide receiver and getting a RB1. I mean, you'd be pretty good immediately. I mean, I know you're 0-5, so you're not really, you know, you're behind the eight ball. But, I mean, you could have a winning team like this year. Like, what was he doing earlier? He should have made the move earlier. This could have been a good team to start the season. That you can't go into the season with a depth wide receiver that much and such a hole at running back, right? Because didn't you list Carlos Hyde as one of them? Like, he didn't even know in the beginning of the year he could have been a zero. Like, he's lucky to even have him, right?
Hey, man, from the beginning of the season, Carlos Hyde, running back 15, I'm sticking by it.
No, I mean, like, hey, he looks good now for the Texans. But, yeah, he needs to address the running back situation.
Yeah, for sure. So if you, like Matt was saying, right now you have those two firsts, man, a first and any of these wide receivers. I mean, a first and Jarvis Landry, a first and Brandon Cooks will get you carry on easily, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, moves like that, especially now that Kerryon, you know, had his bye week already. That's even nice, you know, if you want to make one of those magic turnarounds and hope you go undefeated for the rest of the year. But even still, Kerryon's not going to lose value going into next year short of injury. So that's a move that I would be okay making now anyway.
Yeah, I mean, you have a miracle run. If nothing else, you're no worse off going into next season.
Yeah, and I am still a Miles Sanders believer. So, I mean, the longer you hold on to him, I think the more value he will get. So.
Yeah, well, you'd have that today's news, right? They announced Jordan Howard will be getting even more carries as everyone frowns who owns Miles Sanders.
That's a matter of time before that just becomes a bad idea. And he's also not signed next year just yet. So yes. Miles, Jordan Howard isn't. So Aaron. Yeah, I mean, again, like we just said, if you want to go nuts now, man. If I ever have multiple firsts, I always liked cutting the difference, trading half away, keeping half to actually draft with, because I am not silly enough to think that I know what I'm doing all that much in rookie drafts. I'm going to get things wrong. So you might as well get some proven stuff back and then still have a little bit of fun in the draft. So I would be completely fine shipping one off and holding one.
In seven dynasty leagues, how many 2020 firsts do you think I have?
Zero.
One.
Zero. I trade all of them. I like to hoard second and thirds, though. I'll take my lottery picks like crazy because you can usually just get them tossed in. Like, you know, when a deal's like getting towards the end, I'll always try to get like an extra pick thrown in. Like, everyone's like, a third, throw in a third. People usually throw them in like candy and I'll just like accumulate them. But yeah, I like the proven talent. Plus, for me, it's like a mystery player. So I'm like, I always am going for it. I refuse to throw in the towel to my own detriment most of the time. So I'm always like, you know, do I want to wait an entire year for this guy? Or how much damage can I do by trading this now? And I'm usually pretty aggressive. So I'm not saying that's what everyone should do, but that's usually the general tactic I take.
Yeah, Peter Howard on the Crossroads show was saying pretty much the same thing, where he doesn't necessarily understand the idea of not trying to win because that is the point of this game. And well, he was putting it at a much grander scale that it's okay to win a year and not be great next year. You don't have to literally build a dynasty because this is still a fantasy football league that you want to win in. And honestly, yeah, like, I mean, Brian and I always say the only time that really matters to have draft picks is if you're going to use them is right at the draft. Yes, if it gets closer and you have to pay a little more, you pay a little more. But for right now, I don't necessarily care about holding on to picks. The only league I have a 2020 first in is a league that's had the startup this year that I was bored and just drafted a lot of young players. Mm-hmm. And so I just kept trading and kept getting everyone's firsts. I have six, I think. I think that's the only league I have a 2020 first in right now. Like, so I guess I am kind of like the same with you. Picks are poker chips. They're, you know, currency.
Going back to earlier where I was saying how much I like Godwin, I didn't necessarily mean I'd like in a vacuum and trade one for one. This is actually a good example of the kind of stuff I like to do. You said you like Keenan Allen a lot more than Godwin. If you had Godwin and you could trade for Keenan Allen, what kind of a draft pick would you toss in to acquire Allen?
I would start to see if a second would get there.
All right. That's where I come in. I own Keenan and someone wants to give me Godwin in a second. That's where I love to accumulate middle draft picks and get guys I like. Like, I like Godwin almost as much as Allen, so I'll take Godwin in the second. And I'll trade away all my first to try to just make my team better. And then I'll just make moves to get people I like more and make little downgrades like that and just accumulate tons of picks. So, because I usually end up hitting on some. So I just rather, it's all a lottery anyway. So unless you have one of the very top ones in the first round, I think between the middle of the first and the end of the second, you really have a good chance of hitting anyway. So I like to rack up the second and thirds.
Yeah, that's smart. I think I'm going to start doing that. I also do have Keenan on a couple of bad teams. I think I might try that move, offering Keenan for Godwin in a second, though with Godwin being the wide receiver one, it might be a little tough right now.
Yeah. The timing's a little off.
Maybe. What's your thoughts on Galladay? Do you think he's the real deal?
I do. I was expecting more coming into the season. I thought that there's that cream of the crop tier that has the 28%-ish market share or above. And I thought he could actually jump to that now that Tate was gone for an entire year. Marvin Jones, we're never quite sure what to make of. And then the week one came where Hockenson and Amendola were going nuts with the freaking short passes. So it doesn't look like he was ever going to get there, but he's still the only guy who's consistent from week to week. So I like Galladay, but he's definitely not, I guess, in the conversation of any of the people we were talking about.
So Galladay in a second for Keenan. What are your thoughts on that one?
I wouldn't move Keenan for that.
Yeah, I would. I'd rather have Keenan because, yeah, Galladay, I'm not sure yet. I mean, Stafford looks like, you know, as good as ever, but yeah, I don't think Galladay hasn't reached that special tier for me yet. I'd still need a Galladay in a first, I would, but I don't know why why the Keenan owner would do that.
I get bored. That's why I would do it. Okay. Does anybody have any parting shots regarding team evaluation or tips on rebuilding, retooling, or making that move for the championship before we hit into the out of trades?
No, I mean, the one thing you said, always try to win. Always. I mean, those people that throw in the towel before the season even starts, don't do that. Always try to win. And if it looks like you can't, then be aggressive and try to make moves. But yeah, I mean, I love trading as much as anybody, but I'm never like looking to just blow stuff up. I'm always looking to, I'm either retooling or aggressively retooling, but I'm never looking to completely blow up a team. I mean, I think people would be surprised at how little circumstances there are to completely blow up your team. People do it way more often than they should.
So Matt, let me get you. So I got a question because this has been on my mind for the last hour as I'm sitting here peeking over at this television.
Is this the same Browns team that destroyed the Ravens last week?
Baker. Well, I guess my question is more pointed. It's specific. I mean, Baker Mayfield. Mm-hmm. Is he good? Or is he not good? Because he don't look good right now.
I think he still is good. He has a very bad offensive line.
Yeah.
And Kitchens, I thought he deserved a shot. I really did, especially the way he brought him down the stretch. Because if they didn't offer him the job after last year ended, he probably would have left and gone elsewhere. But I think he's a big problem. So, yeah, I'm not ready to jump ship on him yet. I mean, if you own him, you have to hold him because his value right now is not even worth moving him. So I would look to acquire him on the cheap, actually, because I still think there was enough I saw last year to see that everything was, you know, there's enough there to like. But just the way that the whole team is run with him kind of running his mouth, and more importantly, the way Kitchens kind of handles the reporters too. He just doesn't look like a guy who should be running a team. No offense to him. He looks like a guy who should just be left in his old job. Some guys can't coach, and I think he's a guy who shouldn't be a head coach. So I think this is more to do with his surroundings. He still is very young. I mean, people look back on the way Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning, a lot of Hall of Famers started. They started really freaking terrible, and Baker is still really young. So, you know, I mean, some people – I guess so many guys are used to quarterbacks being so great out of the box now that they forget that true quarterbacks like pocket passers sometimes take a while to develop, and he's not in a great situation without offensive line and coaching. So I'm still holding out hope for Baker, but he sure looks horrible. Hey, look who's back.
Welcome back.
Hey, I'm glad this room stayed open while I disappeared, because I thought you guys were disappearing. So I was like rambling and hoping you guys came back. Then all of a sudden, StreamYard cut out.
Hmm.
Right, so,
I was told Dante Pettis season was starting tonight. What happened?
That would have been great for one of my teams.
I had a bet with someone at DTC it was Kirk versus Pettis, and he actually, it was just for fantasy points for the year. He actually conceded after week three, so I already won even with Kirk like out. So that's a fun bet when he gets conceded in week three. That was a first time.
So the team I was talking about before, my Ziggy Piggy team,
mm-hmm.
I am going right now. I am losing by 3.75 points. I have Nick Ooh. Chubb. He has Jarvis Landry.
Oh, Jarvis. Jarvis is having an okay night.
4 for 75. Mm. I mean, Chubb's having a decent night. 87 rushing yards. Only one catch, though. That kind of sucks. All right. So before my computer just completely kills itself again, let's get a trade or two in and call it a night, because it's getting about that time. So hit us with the Trade Addicts trades.
Trade Addicts trades.
Trade Addicts leagues, 12 teams, super flex, PPR, tight end premium, 1.75 points per reception for tight ends, and all but Trade Addicts 1 has 0.05 points for return yardage. We actually have some Trade Addicts 1 trades, so I had to throw that in there. Going to stop reading. Let's do, this is a really good future versus now trade, and it's super flex, so it's a little bit of fun. Trade Addicts 1, Daniel Jones, Marquise Brown, and Terry McLaurin. So right away, super youth, 4, Kerryon Johnson, and Zach Ertz. Now, this question, I really think a lot of it, like, we know what Kerryon Johnson is more or less, and at least since CJ Anderson's been off the team, he's been the guy there, and like, we found his ceiling. It's kind of showing a little bit, and we know what Zach Ertz is. So this is a complete, my team is not great. You have a lot of rookies on your team that have shown very much upside. Let's just swap them a little bit. So Matt,
did you say this was Superflex?
Yeah.
What was the, I heard Jones and McLaurin. Who's the third rookie on that team? That was
Hollywood Brown.
Oh, Hollywood.
So Daniel Jones, Hollywood Brown, Terry McLaurin for Kerryon Johnson and Zach Ertz. How do you feel about this one?
Yeah, I would definitely want the Kerryon Ertz side. Ertz is not a guy I really want on my team in Dynasty, but mm-hmm. I think I do want Kerryon. Youthful players like that. I'm not sure why you're trading him unless you're getting something slam dunk back, which this is not for me, even though I like all three players. That are coming back, I would rather hold Kerryon and then flip Ertz for something else. I would really love to know what the rosters are here. This is a tough one without knowing the rosters. But
assume that they needed a quarterback and their team is bad.
Yeah.
But, I mean, let's look at it this way. Daniel Jones, if anything else, he has a job for a couple of years.
Yes. And he's looked good. I mean, he's making rookie mistakes, which should be expected, but he looks promising enough. I like all three of these guys, so I don't have a problem with it, but I'd rather hold on to Kerryon's the holdup for me, because even though these three guys are fine on the rookie side, you know, I'm none of them are a sure thing. I mean, Hollywood's making these really big plays. He's doing it on like zero targets, which you can either take as a good or a bad thing, whether is it a fluke or imagine what he can do with a ton of targets. I'm not happy with the return. So I'd rather hold on to the Kerryon and Ertz side, because I think he can do better than that.
What about you, Brian?
Yeah. I mean, I believe I voted for the Kerryon side on the Twitter poll here. And I think I'd rather have that side just in a vacuum. At the same time, I do like Daniel Jones. I think he's shown that he's going to be a lot better than a lot of people thought, based on where he was drafted anyway. So anytime you get a quarterback in a super flex league and it's a young one, I mean, that's very valuable. That's a very valuable piece here. So
And I do like McLaren as well. He's been really good in Washington lately, banged up obviously the last couple of weeks, but but has played pretty well in his rookie season. I'm not a big Hollywood Brown guy. It probably has more to do with the fact that he wears purple on Sundays than anything. because I really can't get past that stupid color.
But
I am. There's no doubt. But I like Lamar Jackson. So I don't know. That's, anyways, I think I would rather have the Johnson and Ertz side. But I don't think it's terribly badly slanted in either direction.
I like the Daniel Jones side. It's just so much more fun. I need to be honest about it. Like, I completely agree with Matt with where Zach Ertz, honestly, I can't sell him in leagues I have him. It's weird. He's still putting up super solid points and no one wants him anymore. It's ridiculous.
You probably couldn't trade Ertz for Jones straight up.
Which is ridiculous because in a startup.
I'm just saying right now.
Rounds different.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. In a draft, rounds different, but that's funny how it, after the draft and in the hype right now too. But I bet in Dynasty, if you're the Ertz owner and you try getting Daniel Jones, you'd have a hard time doing it.
Yeah. So to me, I love the upside of this youth. We have seen Terry McLaurin. This quarterback carousel hurts him. It's, the unfortunate truth that it hurts his value right now. But his Dynasty value was predicated on the fact that he's going to be playing with his college quarterback. So his real dynasty value hasn't kicked in yet, and he has just shown that he has fantasy value for this year. And I mean, Marquise Brown was one of my make amends earlier in the year. Like, he looks real. He looks good. And honestly, he's not taking the big hits that, something happened to his ankle at one point during the game this week, but he's not taking those hits that made us so scared about his size. Again, 5 weeks, that could easily change, but still,
Well, let me ask you a question here. Do you think 5 weeks is enough time to make a drastic decision in Dynasty based on just a 5 week sample size? Because if this was before the season started, you're laughing at this offer, right?
I mean, clearly, but I mean,
but you like McLaurin and Hollywood after 5 weeks, but look at Sanders and look at Montgomery after 5 weeks. I mean, completely different directions, but you're, most people's in Dynasty aren't going to be selling those guys off, but I'm just in general, if it's close enough for me, I'm looking all right. And before the season started, what really changed here? And it's it's still a ton of question marks for me. So I guess I'm with you, but it's only been 5 weeks and
to know what you're getting, whatever.
No, not really. It's just,
don't be such a fuddy-duddy.
I like Dimes. I like McLaurin. Hollywood is a real question mark.
Yes. I called him a fuddy-duddy in the mud. Yeah, I did.
Someone did that to me before and it was probably you, to be honest.
And it probably wasn't. You're probably younger than I am, which makes it even funnier.
But I don't know. It's 5 weeks is too much for a guy in McLaurin who people were interested in and then skyrocketed his value 5 weeks in a bad offense. It's I don't know. I want to see, I can't be giving up those other guys to have definite value for someone I'm just hoping is this guy. I think it's confirmation. He was a guy with a lot of people liked him in the preseason and he started out really good. Therefore he must be fantastic. Not necessarily. I expect him to be good. Cause I actually think he is, but that's the big question mark for a guy in Kerryon who I'm pretty positive is really good.
Okay. So let's move on because we've been talking about this for too long and we're running late.
You invited the wrong person. If you wanted this to be a short show, my bad.
Look, I've been too nice to tell you to shut up, but we've reached that point. I'm just kidding. In Trade Addict 6, this is I'm bringing up this deal because of something you said before, how you love hoarding twos and seconds and thirds. This trade in Trade Addict 6, Larry Fitzgerald, Emmanuel Sanders, Delaney Walker for 3 2020 seconds and a 2021 second. What do you think of that one, Matt?
Yeah, give me all the draft picks. I mean, if you're completely rebuilding, you're getting Larry Fitzgerald and then
sides of this. Give me, because clearly, yeah. I mean,
you're getting
easy side is if your team sucks, you take those draft picks.
Yeah. I mean, you're giving up Larry Fitzgerald, who's going to retire. Great. He's having a great year. And I think getting a second for him is great because you know he's going to retire. And then Emmanuel Sanders, you know, I mean, he could get traded to like the Packers or something and go on to be very valuable down the stretch. And he's getting a ton of targets. But just in general, you have three guys here that could all retire literally any time due to injury or just retiring due to just needing to. So, yeah, pretty much 4 seconds. I think that's a pretty easy accept if you're rebuilding.
If you were making a push, would you send out 4 seconds for those guys?
No. I mean, I would send out a second for Larry. I wouldn't really put much out for the other guys, though.
What about you, Brian?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, especially in this class, I know we've talked about it a ton over the last year, but you know, there's going to be first round talent available in the second round of this rookie draft, in my opinion. So if I can move those older players for second round picks, you know, I'm probably doing that every day. I mean, Fitzgerald, like, you know, like Matt was saying, I think he's the one that I probably would pay a second for if I was making a push. You know, but that's, I would rather have the picks.
Yeah, I see both sides. And I think if I really believed I was depth away from winning a championship, I would probably send those seconds for it. So I'm good with that. But we're going to do two more trades. We're going to do one more that is, he says he's rebuilding, but he sent away Amari Cooper. So who the hell knows what he was really doing, especially because he sent Amari Cooper for less than we offered him. But that's besides the point. And then we have your Saquon trade. So we'll save the Saquon trade for last. Trade Addict 7. Amari Cooper for Josh Jacobs, a 2022nd and a 2024th. What do you think of that one, Matt?
Amari, not close. I don't need to break it down anymore. That's not even close.
That's the only reason I read that out loud. Just because I'm a little spiteful.
I thought you were going to say Jacobs in a 2021st. When you said a 2022nd, I was just like, mind blown.
Yeah, no, that was really just completely out of spite. But you know, we don't even really need to talk about it. Let's just move on. Trade Addict 6. Saquon Barkley, Raquel Armstead, Jalen Hurd, 4. Keenan Allen, James Connor, and Jalen Samuels. Now, since this was Brian's trade, Matt, what do you think?
It was Barkley. What are the other two that went with Barkley?
Raquel Armstead and Jalen Hurd.
Okay, so basically Barkley for the other three.
Yeah.
I immediately wanted to spit out Barkley, not close, but it is close. I don't really believe in Connor much is the problem here, and Jalen Samuels is basically a handcuff to him. So I will go with the Barkley side rather easily here.
Yay.
Yeah,
but it has to do with me not believing in Connor long term. If you believe in Connor, it really changes the trade, and I don't. So it makes it an easy decision for me.
And see, it's funny. Like Brian immediately messaged me. He's like, "What do you think of the trade I just did?" And I'm like, "You got Saquon. That's all that matters. You're happy. That's what it is." And he's like, "No, really, really. What'd you think?" We are both, Brian and I, are very big Keenan lovers. We firmly believe that he is a wide receiver one and he is awesome and he will be for a while. What I said was this comes down, like you just said, this comes down to Connor. And regardless of belief or not, what's going on in Pittsburgh hurts Connor's value. And if you are, well, first of all, he now in the same weekend acquired Barkley and Kamara. Just putting that out there.
But damn, now we got to discuss. Hold on, now I got to know what he gave up for Kamara after this.
That was the trade we talked about earlier.
Oh, that was that one. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. So, like to me, it's really fun. We were saying, in what world are you going to get? We said Keenan and Chubb. This is a little different than that, but it's still. I mean, Keenan and Connor. Connor's okay. He is. Okay, that's really what it comes down to. He's good. He'll still score you points this year. He put up decent points this week. Mm-hmm. He's not safe. And Barkley, everyone's going to roll an ankle. And let's face it, he should have been out 8 weeks. Looks like he's coming back after two. So he's like the definition of safe. I would give up that for Saquon. No less, you got a very good handcuff in Raquel Armstead. Because he's getting a few touches, even with Fournette still alive. And if Fournette becomes Fournette again and, you know, ends up missing games every once in a while, it looks like Reichwell will just get the ball. So that is...
If Fournette went down tomorrow, would it really shock anyone if Armstead was like a week later more valuable than Connor, like just point for point? I mean, it wouldn't be that big of a shock. I mean, with that workload he's probably going to get, it wouldn't shock me at all, at least like from a 2019 standpoint.
The real question is, if Leonard Fournette went down right now, how quickly would Jay Ajayi get picked up off of every waiver wire again?
Yeah, I know. That's like, oh, that's the move.
Yeah, he randomly just gets picked up in like multiple leagues, and I feel like I'm missing something, and I never am.
Yeah, about you. Everyone, I said, go to FF Mercs and sign up for advice. You don't need to pay for this advice because I get DM'd this all the time. Should I pick up Jay Ajayi? No. I mean, every time that Ian Rappaport reports that his agent, he has let teams know that he's ready to go. He's let teams know like 7 weeks in a row. They all know he's available and no one cares.
Well, on that note, that is the end of the show sheet. So that is the end of our show. Before I go into my little spiel again, Matt, A, thank you for coming on. B, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
I'm Matt Williams. I am the co-owner of FF Statistics, the co-founder of FF Mercenaries. We do a weekly show, the Daily Blitz podcast, and a weekly DFS show, DF Statistics. And on Sundays, 11:30 a.m. to kick off, we do FF Mercs Live. You can do all your start, sit questions, DFS, everything live every day right up until kickoff. If you need any trade advice, roster breakdown, any kind of fantasy football advice, go to ffmercs.com. We have a whole roster full of amazing people, including Russ here, who can break down your roster and kind of get you on the track to a championship. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can follow me at Matt Williams, MATTWI77IAMS.
Rock and or roll. Brian, anything before we go?
Yeah, I'd just like to remind people that my work is at DynastyLeagueFootball.com. My work pretty much consists of rankings at this time. I'm not writing a whole lot lately. but I did, one of my articles that I wrote over there was a rookie profile on DJ Chark. So go check that out if you get a chance. It's 2 years old, but it was kind of cool now that he's doing something. So I actually hit on somebody, so I feel good about that. And everybody, yeah, get. So I'll do the wristband thing.
Go for it.
Buy these freaking wristbands, people. Do you not like giving money to charities? Yes, I am now pulling out that card because I have a stack of these effing things. First of all, they're awesome. They're totally badass looking, and it supports us, and it supports the damn kids. So go buy them.
You're like the person at the checkout. Would you like to spend $1 for children's cancer research? And like you say, you can't say no because then you're a dick. So you got them.
But at least you get something too. Here you get these cool bracelets, and the kids get toys.
Love it.
So $5 a pop for the bracelets. You can direct message me or Russ, and we'll send them out to you. And $2 of each bracelet sale goes to Fantasy Cares. So that's my spiel.
My turn. ffpodshirts.storeenvy.com. There are shirts and stickers from us, from Superflex Super Show, from Dynasty Diagnostic, from Top Shelf DFF. Like, that is a bunch of awesome shows. And again, to lay on Brian's little guilt card, what, don't you like giving money to charity? Do you not like kids? Is that what that is? Because 10% of the profits goes towards words, Fantasy Cares. There you go, man. Wow. I mean, to be fair, it's the outro where I started losing words, like not a half hour ago. So I feel like that's a good step. I feel like that's a good thing.
What if your listeners don't like kids?
I got nothing, man. Then just buy an
awesome t-shirt and wristband. You're supposed to have something for that. I need to get all these shirts. I love all these shows you're mentioning. I need to get some shirts.
Yeah, you do. Speaking of, and it has absolutely nothing to do with us. Hold on, I have to remember the letters. dfpn.storeenvy.com. Dummies Funhouse Podcast Network. Dynasty Dummies, the Dummy Blitz, Fantasy Football Funhouse, shirts, coffee mugs. I already posted on Twitter the picture of me pretending to drink coffee out of my dummy my Dynasty Dummies mug because, dude, it was 7:30. I'm not drinking coffee at 7:30. It's just not what I do. I want to go to sleep soon. But yeah, the dummies are freaking awesome. J Mike is freaking awesome. Sal's okay. But you should go give them your money and rep them a little bit. But more importantly, if it comes down to between them and us, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod, just saying. You could be listening to us right now, watching Brian look confusedly at his keyboard as he goes to type something and not paying attention to my talking right now. And you could look at the nice black screen with the FF Mercs logo because I didn't tell Matt that we were, you know, we were recording the video and he doesn't have a webcam with him. Oops.
Hi, everybody. I'm in a hotel in northern New Jersey right now, so I don't have a webcam on this thing.
But yeah, so that's part of the awesome part of being a patron. So go do that. We love you if you do, and we kind of like you if you don't anyway. Brian, I don't think Brian can hate people, so whatever. But on that note, I think that's everything. So night, Brian.
Night, Outhouse.
Night, Matt.
Good night.
Night, Matt.
I love you, everybody. Bye-bye.
Whee!
Thank you for listening to the Trader Addict Podcast. Please remember to follow our host at Dynasty Outhouse and at Brian RFF. Follow the pod at Trader Addict Pod. Please review, subscribe, and rate the podcast. Thank you for listening and see you next time.